Andy, how's it going this week, man?
It's going. Yeah, I'm still waiting for the winter to really come in Maine. We had maybe a few weeks ago, a massive snowstorm. But since then, it's just been high 30s, low 40s and sunny every day. So
it's beautiful.
All right with that. But other than that, yeah, I know. Other than that, it's just been, moving things along at the business. How's everything going with you?
It's going, man. It's going. We chatted a few episodes ago about, fundraising, or I'll say adding resources to the company, and have been in the thick of that and looking at a bunch of different options, still exploring some different options. And it is definitely that trap that a lot of people talk about that, don't fall into this trap of just thinking about or working on fundraising. Think about actually building and growing a business. I've had to catch myself several times saying I could spend all day researching angel list syndicates and revenue-based financing and all this bullshit. And I need to just pick one and go with it and focus on growing the business, because it's just a never-ending trap of this garbage. So I feel like I'm getting much closer to a direction we're going to take, which is cool. But it definitely has been that slippery slope in the last couple weeks since we started talking about this.
What have been the sticking points, or what are the parts that aren't clear as you're navigating the different options?
Well, I think just the different options out there, revenue-based financing, a traditional loan, equity, and then even within equities, different ways people can invest in the company. And what are the upsides and downsides of that now? And what might they be in the future? And how expensive is the money in the shorter and the longer term? Those are all, they're all different for every kind of instrument out there. And so it's trying to figure out, one, how easy is it to do this? What can I do this month to get this done? And then what is the cost of that? And what is the longer term cost of that? So yeah, just all those trade-offs. And then honestly, all of it is kind of hard. I think you probably lucked into it having an investor come to you and you guys just sign the papers and that's it. But frankly, pitching investors and trying to organize all this is it's a fair amount of work. So it's been an interesting learning lesson, but it's definitely been a lesson. Yeah.
Are there parts of the equation that are harder to solve? Because my sort of rational mind is thinking you effectively get an idea for the different terms from the different options out there, at least ballpark ideas. And then you can think about difficulty as well, but are the terms vague enough where it's hard to come to a clearer answer, or are some of the options more dependent on things far out in the future that make it hard to make the decision now? When you get what the options are, at least a good sense of it, where does it get harder to narrow it down?
Yeah. So I think just to be really specific, all the kind of options are on the table. And that's the hard part. It's all the options are on the table, four different methods of adding resources to the company. And those balls are all up in the air right now. We've pitched or we've talked to all these types of different people and entities, and none of them are done, and we haven't decided to go one way or the other. It's all these things are just kind of up in the air. And I think all of them have their benefits. Some of them could or will work out and some can't. And so I think just not closing those doors preemptively is part of the problem, but I'm doing it intentionally because I don't want to shut those doors before I have to, because it might be the way that we want or need to go. So I think that's part of it. It's just there's uncertainty because we're looking at several different ways to go, because I don't think there is a single best way.
So I guess what are the two or three options you're most seriously considering right now?
So one is, just kind of straight up friends and family type angel round from individual investors. That's nice because it's simple. And the understanding the cost of that equity is really clear. It doesn't cost me anything right now. There's definitely no payback period. The hard part is you have to go pitch, 100 people maybe to get 25 or 50 people to say yes. That's just an involved process. And turns out I feel I'm reasonably well connected in the community, but 100, I can't reach out to 100 angel investors. I've emailed maybe 15 or 20. And I feel my list is almost exhausted now. So I think maybe that's part of feeling a little overwhelmed with kind of where we are in the process. The other one is a place like IndieVC that has a very different kind of capital cost, where you can slash need to pay them back an amount. And so then your cost is fixed. So say you get $100,000 from them, you pay them back $300,000, starting at some point in the future, up to where they retain 1% of the company interest. So it's kind of like a deferred loan from their perspective that's super expensive, but then they still have some interest in the company long-term. And that one's interesting because that capital is really expensive in the short-term, but in the long-term, if either you can pay it back or you sell for like more money and you've paid that back, then like the cost of that capital is less. And then the other one we're looking at are kind of a couple different flavors of revenue-based financing, kind of loans or things like pipe.com. So them taking your monthly recurring revenue and paying you annually on it. So you have a guy paying you $19 a month. They say, okay, that's, what is that? $196 a year. We'll give you $180 today. So it's like an annual plan, but the customer pays you and they just take that money and pay you a percentage of it. So looking at all those, and they're all really different. I don't think one is right or wrong. I think there's something to be said for some of them being easier, you know, and like just getting done, getting some money in the door and us putting it to work. But yeah, those are the things we're evaluating and, you know, like really exploring pretty heavily.
For pipe.com, how deep into it have you looked? Because that's one I know I've heard about, but haven't like looked into it all. Like if someone churns early, like what happens?
I don't know the answer. I think they kind of have that built in to say like, you know, they're not going to give you 100% of your monthly recurring revenue. They'll give you 50% or something like that, that you can annualize against. I know that's not the right term, but that's how I think about it. So, you know, say we have $50,000 of monthly recurring revenue of like monthly subscriptions, they would give us an annualized $25,000 maybe. And I don't know what the number is. We have some time set up with them here soon to talk. But I think that's how they do is they just kind of, you know, like a life insurance company, you know, like they have like a probability table on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I guess it seems to me that it's getting more information about this, but that once you get a bit more detail on the revenue-based option, you kind of have enough information to at least figure out the next move.
Yep.
And it seems like it is difficult because they're just all very different models. But I feel like if you sit down with like a pen and paper for a bit and kind of think them through and like for the friends and family, it seems like the downside is the amount, just the difficulty of actually executing there. You know what you're giving up. And obviously there's variability in what that could be worth in the long run, but you know up front what you're giving up. It's just a pain in the ass to round everyone up and close and get all the checks deposited and all of that. And it can complicate the cap table. And then like indie style investments. Yeah, that's where it's just like you're not sure exactly what you're going to end up paying. And then the revenue base, yeah, it just seems what the terms are. But if do you at least feel like when you get this information from Pipe that you'll be clearer on, you're at least like have what you need to try to narrow things down? Because I do agree, like you got to kind of go in one of the direction at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And none of them are wrong, right? Like if we take revenue-based financing right now, we could go raise an angel round in 6 months and vice versa. And all that, like, and that's what my buddy Ed told me is like, just pick one and go with it because, and even like an amount, you know, like revenue-based financing or, you know, a more traditional loan, like just take an amount of money or do something and go with it. Yeah. And I mean, part of it is it just like, you know, exploring the kind of three different options and talking to all these parties, like it just takes time, you know, like they have to get back to you and you apply and then you have mm-hmm. a call and then there's another one and sure. you're waiting. And like, it just is 2 weeks worth of time. And yeah, we're definitely at the end of this. And, you know, I hate to say at this point, I'm tending to think that like the easiest thing is the best, you know, and I don't know what that's going to be yet, but like, I think the easiest thing that can get us some resources so we can put them to work to grow faster is, all things being equal, that's probably what I'll do. All things are not equal, but that's definitely like that would tip the scales kind of one way or the other. Cause I think as we'll talk about today is like executing and actually growing the company is really all that matters. And so these things are just tools to allow us to do that. So.
Yeah. And just adding on to that though, I feel like there are some potential hybrid options that could be easy if the terms from PIPE are reasonable or from other alternatives, like if you take the 80-20 to the friends and family round, don't broaden your net too much beyond like what you've done. But I'm sure there is a handful of those people you've contacted that would write a check larger or much easier than the rest. So it's like, let them do that. Ask them if they have anyone else that might be interested, and then like go like one level down of referrals and then just like be done with it. Like maybe send like follow-ups, but like you don't need to have like a drawn out multi-month period. You could set an end date on when decisions need to be made and like just see what you get from that at a price that you're comfortable raising, and then supplement that with the revenue-based financing. Or like if you get more comfortable around terms from something like an NDVC, who could do it all in like one fell swoop, go there. But yeah, I think there's you can get creative with it, but I think you got the right idea from here. And really like the almost the hard part is, what do you need in terms of money? I'm not asking you to like say that right now, but it's figuring out how much you need. And so how have you been first just thinking about that number? And then how did you come up with that number? Is it based around where you're trying to get, and there's some like backwards calculations you're doing? How are you getting there?
I think we've both kind of been inspired by this question by a podcast we both listened to. And I think there's a lot of ways that you can do this. And a lot of it has to do with like the amount of data and history and kind of predictability that your company has. I think we've been around long enough now to where we have that data and we can forecast some of it. I think part of the difficulty, and it sounds like for you, maybe part of the difficulty is like the business is changing. You're getting into new parts of the market or offering new types of products. And so growing those things when you don't have a lot of history there is a little more complicated. But I mean, for us, I hate to say it's kind of a hybrid of like planning from here forward versus from where I want to get backwards. And I think those are the, you know, when you think about it, those are two options. And one of them is like, I feel like we need certain people on the team, you know, we need certain roles filled. So that's easy to plan forward from today to say like, we need a sales rep. We actually published a job posting yesterday. So this episode will go out in a few weeks. So hopefully that we'll have a solid candidate right now, but we're hiring for an account executive. So for a sales rep to sell both our like Castus production services and our kind of enterprise level private podcasting for companies. So that is like a role we 100% need. That person should drive significant revenue and growth and kind of change how we think about growth and how we approach that. Because right now it's just been like inbound. You know, inbound, people sign up, $20 a month, maybe $49 a month. You know, it's like, that's hard to affect and to change. You know, like we've talked about, a lot of marketing doesn't really matter. And I get kind of frustrated sometimes that like, we have this goal of like, we want revenue to be here by the end of the year. And I start thinking about like, what do we need to do and what can we do to, you know, double our growth rate? And like, that's daunting. So I guess that's a very long answer of saying like, I have certain roles that I really want to hire for now, because I think it would help. And then at the same time, kind of doing the math backwards to say like, to get there, we need to be doing this many new trials a month and converting at this rate and things like that. And so the people in these roles need to be able to kind of make those end metrics work, I guess, if that makes sense.
The trouble I would have is all the ambiguity around the private podcasting. Because if you had, say you're like a traditional startup and you've figured out your pricing, like you're not planning to change that, you're not rolling out anything new, you have like your playbook and you're raising money, and it's just easy to say like, okay, maybe it's not even like optimizing rates, or maybe there's some pieces you want to like have some marketers in charge of improving conversion rates and this and that. But like, you're saying, okay, like if we get more leads, we will get to this number. But the trouble is like, you don't know what the average revenue per user will be on the private podcasting. You don't know how easily you can close that. And those, I feel like, have a massive impact on like getting to whatever goal you may have. And so, yeah, I wouldn't, that's where I think it's okay to, I think it's probably better to, instead of trying to just bake in a ton of assumptions around it, and like, I would almost like figure out the bare minimum of hiring to say, like, it is obvious that if we want to pursue this, we need these roles.
Mm-hmm.
But not trying to pick metrics and backing out of that and all of this, because and trying to fill in around that, just, I feel like there's so too many unknowns. Whereas if there are areas on like the core product now that just obviously could get some improvement, I think it's easier to plan for that. Does that make sense at all?
It does. And I think that like we try to balance that with like setting a goal and an expectation for these people coming in, especially like a salesperson. Like they have plan, and we have like metrics and how we calculate commission around it. So like, I think that the two can and should like work well together to say, like, we have this end goal, you know, 11 months from now, 11 and a half months from now, that we want to get there. To get there, a chunk of that has to be from like enterprise level sales. And this person is going to be responsible for that. So like, I think we can kind of draw that line. Our core hosting product needs to double in the next 12 months. To get there, somebody's got to drive a lot more traffic to the website and you know, high qualified leads. And that needs to be a marketer. And then the product needs to continue to evolve. And to do that, we need to offer new features and, you know, change pricing and add more value to customers so that they, you know, can and want to pay us more money. And that's, you know, and that comes in the form of, you know, designers and developers. That's kind of how I look at it, but I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of how I look at it, I guess.
How arbitrary do you feel the goal is?
Oh, super arbitrary. Yeah.
That's also where I think it's in a more stable business. You can say, okay, like growth has historically been this. If we want to reach and increase the growth beyond that, maybe double growth, like whatever it is, like you have some kind of baseline you can reasonably work from and figure out, is this a stretch? Is it not? Whatever. And then back up into what you need to get there. But for your business, is changing a ton. So I feel like it's got to be somewhat arbitrary. And then for us, the hires haven't been, even up to this point, the hires haven't been strategic in the sense of a growth perspective. Obviously, getting more budget to work with different contractors on marketing, on design, on everything else, like that's with a growth mindset that we're making those hires and investments. But the true full-time hires that we've been making have all just been out of necessity. And I feel like we're still not quite out of that phase. Assuming this investment does go through for us, it's like I'm not even thinking in terms of, okay, we want to more than double this year. What do we have to do to get there? It's just like right now, I think we're on a good trajectory. I want to accelerate that. But like there's still a lot of hair on fire moments that we just have to hire around. And I think for me to take a longer term view, we just have to get to this spot where things are just internally more stable in terms of the infrastructure, in terms of our team, where it's like, I don't need to manage support that much. And like right now it's already down to a couple of days a week, but there's still just so many things that come up that pull me off. And it's like, I think we're getting close. And I know there's always, as like a startup CEO, there's always going to be things that get put on your plate that you weren't planning for. And I don't expect that to ever go away. But there's just some obvious points of failure that we've got to get covered right now. And so for me, it's more like, yeah, I think my goal is more than doubling this year. It is pretty arbitrary, but it's based on just like, yeah, our growth has been strong. I think we can, this is a little bit of a stretch. And then let's try to figure out what to do to get there. But I'm not like dramatically changing our playbook or anything to get there.
Hmm. Do you think that like not changing your playbook is because your goal is is kind of like in line with what your growth should be organically. And so you're hiring these people to just kind of like shore up the business, free up some of your time to do higher leverage things maybe. Do you think that's kind of why you're looking at like the hires you are in that way?
Yeah, the more I think about it, like, to be honest, I do think it would be great to have a bigger team on growth around me and like really try to grow this thing aggressively. But I think, just to be honest with myself, that we're not, the company's not at a mature enough spot where I think we could handle that. I think there's just too many problems, primarily on the engineering side, that like just cause too many distractions. And then there's just a lot of the more administrative stuff that I've got to get off my plate before I would have the bandwidth to lead that team. And so I think it's just getting our ducks in a row first, which we are really close on, and we've already made a lot of progress on. But I think until then, it's just not something that like I'll have the bandwidth for. And I think if I weren't confident that we could grow at a very strong clip without like over investing in marketing, I would probably be willing to sacrifice some work-life balance aspects and just really go hard on growing everywhere. But I think this is still an aggressive growth goal, but I don't think it will like push us beyond like the breaking point. Whereas if I was like, all right, like let me just bring on a couple of people under me and I'm going to be the marketing leader, there's going to be some people working with me, and then I'm also just going to be dealing with all the other shit that comes up along the way.
Right.
And I think I've just been in that position for a long time, basically up until recently. And now that I'm getting a little bit of fresh air and able to work with contractors on moving the marketing forward and seeing significant traction there, it's like, all right, let's just not put this on autopilot by any means, but not overextend myself, the rest of the team, when we're already, I do think we can more than double this year. Did that answer your question at all?
Yeah, okay. For sure. And I mean, the reason I kind of brought it up or phrased it that way is like, I had a call with AD, my mentor this week, and talked about this a lot because, and I don't, he won't mind me kind of revealing this, but like when we started working together, the single thing that I wanted to talk about was like, okay, I want to get from here to there in the next, you know, some amount of time. And I don't know like what that path looks like, you know? I don't know how to get from, say you're doing $1 million to you're doing $5 million in the next 5 years. You know, how do you think about growing people and growing culture and growing process and marketing and product and things like that? And we finally like really kind of touched on it this week, just because we've had a bunch of other shit to talk about in between then. And really like what it came down to is him asking me like to evaluate my strength and interest in like the various roles or divisions in the company. So, you know, ops and support and finance and sales and marketing and product and engineering. And then like you rank those and then say like, okay, if you could bring in, we've talked about this, like who, not how book, you know, is like, if you could bring in a who and they could change the way that part of the business runs, like what would that do to your growth? And so that's just how I'm thinking about it. And like, that's why we put the job posting out for the sales rep, like the day after he and I talked, is like, yeah, that I have sales background, but I just don't have the energy to drive that right now. And so, but it's probably the biggest high leverage thing you can have in a company is like a salesperson, because all they do is drive revenue. And that's just how I've been thinking about like who we hire is like, what do I not want to do or I'm not really best at? And like, what if someone was super, super good at it? You know, like what if we had that all-star on the team? Like what would my role and perspective on the company look like? And then like, what could they go do that would change how the rest of the company kind of looks and operates and views what we're doing?
For us right now, all of those like who's, all those people are not, it's not in marketing. It's engineering, and we're very happy with the front end engineer we brought on full time. We just started working with senior data engineer on a consultant basis. We were very excited about that. That's the last missing piece on the infrastructure. And then same on like support. We got Ross in there, and I think we're going to bring on another support person. And so Ross can, he's someone who's really good at wearing a lot of hats. And so I want to take advantage of that and have him get just out of the inbox a bit more and be like part EA, part success, part whatever. And those are like the people we need right now, because yeah, on the market, I know we've talked a lot about like my reluctance to hire there, but I think what you just talked about hit on it for me. It's the energy. It's, I do think I should be the marketing leader for the time being. The strategy work, all of that stuff, it gives me energy. I enjoy that. It's the execution I don't. And so right now I found that happy medium of just getting very specific work from contractors on execution, where I'm still taking the strategy lead and they're really executing. And that's been great. But it's like, I do not have the energy to bring on marketers and really work closely with them and train them and manage them and all of that. That's going to be what I'll have to do in the near future. Once we get kind of the energy sucks on the rest of the business off my plate, then it's like, all right, I can mm-hmm. tackle this.
I think like I'll challenge you and myself a little bit to just to challenge thinking, not challenge you kind of directly, and to challenge me, I guess, is like if I have a sales background and like I know the product and the space and the pain the customers are going in, why am I not heading up sales and getting everything else off my plate, like you're talking about doing, I guess, with marketing? If that truly is like the best thing for you to do, then you should maybe never give it up, you know, until you're a 30-person company. I don't know. That just,
yeah, I mean, that's
not a very strong challenge, but just kind of.
No, I mean, I feel like that's challenging yourself and not me, because it's like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I don't think I'm going to give up leading the marketing side of it for the foreseeable future, unless, yeah, we do get to 20 plus people, because I think it's one of the areas that I enjoy doing when it comes to strategy, and I think I do very well with. And also just balancing that with the idea of running a capital efficient team. It's like, it's easier for me. I think it'd be a very hard hire to make at the level I would want to make it, and expensive. Whereas it's easier and more affordable to offload kind of the rest of the things on my plate, where I'm not going all in right now is on bringing the management side of that. It's like, it's much easier when I have a specialist contractor who I can go over strategy with and still like lead the engagement, which I'm sure a lot of contractors don't like. But like, if I can say, this is what I'm looking to do, I want your input, but like, I'm trying to drive the show on this and just get them to execute, like, that's fine with me. Having someone come in and try to wear more hats and try to be like a marketer, I don't have the energy for that. But yeah, I'd say on your side, like, if you don't hate the sales strategy and management side of it, I would probably expect to do that for a while. Because
yeah, and I think that
it's just so like hard to get in a senior person to come in and create something from scratch. And so that's kind of what I was going to ask on the AE side of things. Like, when you were describing the who you were looking for, it sounds like someone who will have a lot of ownership. And I wouldn't have thought of that as like a account executive. I would have thought of that as like someone more senior, unless you were really going to be driving the show a lot of the time and working closely with them. What does that position look like? Like, how senior of a person are you looking for? What are you looking for there?
Yeah. So I think just to kind of like, I didn't complete my thought before, I guess maybe it wasn't fully formed, but like, because I think that in order for you, and you touched on it, in order for you to be like the head marketer and not give up that work-life balance and stuff, you have to basically get everything else off your plate, you know? And I think that's really hard as a CEO of a company, is to say like, I'm not going to, you know, have 5% of my mental space in product and 5% of my mental space in, you know, support and in people and in all this kind of stuff. And so I can focus 100% of my mental space on marketing, or for me on sales. I think it's to some degree easier to say, we are going to hire a salesperson and 100% of what they're going to think about is sales. Now, whether that person is as efficient at selling our product and solutions as me, I don't know. I mean, I have never sold like enterprise level SaaS before. You know, I mean, we've done some small deals, but like I've never run like a sales process. And so I guess that's part of like the ease of handoff for me to hand sales to someone else is maybe, and this is how I'm thinking, I guess, because we're going down this road, is easier than for me to hand off everything else in the company to someone else so that I can be the sales rep. I also think like the other part of that is like the most valuable thing I do in the company is, and this sounds so cheesy, it is like the vision of where the company is going to go, you know? And I would have a hard time doing that and working with marketing and working with sales and working with developers and designers and support on kind of figuring out what that is and where it's going and spending 100% of my time on sales. You know, so it's easier to say we have a salesperson, they're going to spend 100% of their time there, even if they're 75% as effective at it as me. My hypothesis is that's better than me trying to do it.
Right. And I guess to clarify, my intention is never to be 100% marketing. I don't even know if 80% is the thing, because I think one of the biggest roles will always be the people side of the business. And so there'll still be management and recruiting and all of that, that will be a primary responsibility for me. I just think, yeah, like to lead the team for what I intend to have be a small, scrappy startup is not like, for me at least, wouldn't be a full-time thing for the marketing side of it. It's like I want, for strategy in general is where I think I add the most value, not even just for marketing, but for the business. And like, that's not going anywhere. It's really just giving myself the ability to have the extra bandwidth to manage, more directly manage marketers under me. But yeah, I don't see it as like marketing and nothing else. I don't even, maybe be 50% marketing, but that might even be a push. And I guess where I would just wonder is for the person you're looking to hire, how much are they going to have to figure out on their own? And because like that's where I think businesses in general run into a ton of issues, is that it's very difficult to find someone to come in and create the playbook, or even just like run with like a loosely formed playbook and really develop that and turn that into something big. That's one of the hardest things to hire for in a startup. And I think that's why so many startups not fail, but do a poor job of hiring, is they're hiring for just like loosely defined positions. And like, unless you get that needle in the haystack, it's not going to work. So like, what do you see the relationship looking like between you and the AE? Like, how much are they going to just be expected to run with it? What kind of person are you looking for there?
I only can look back on, like, we had a sales rep at Podcast Motor before, leading up to the pandemic, and it was a really positive experience. And he did drive a lot of it. He needed a lot from me, especially early on. But I don't know, after a couple of months, I think he was to the point that I wanted to get to, where he would come to me with proposals for a thing, you know, like, hey, I want to offer this kind of thing to this customer. I want to create this custom package. Can we do that? I want to try this marketing opportunity, you know, for prospecting. Can we do that? So I definitely will expect that the next couple of months after we hire this person will be a lot of, and the next couple of months from now until they're hired, and then afterwards, it will be like me putting together the playbook and figuring out things like comp and how they work with, you know, plan and things like that, and how they spend their time. I mean, because some of it will be prospecting, some of it will be, you know, management of the pipeline, and some of it will be sales calls and things like that. And that will evolve over time. But I definitely just kind of generally want to hire senior for this, so that that person can come in and just say, you know, as much as I can, okay, here is the sales division of the company. You own it, you know, go make your number. Obviously, it's not that easy. But I don't want a junior person that doesn't know what they're doing, and I need to tell them how to do sales calls and stuff like that. And the nice thing about sales is like it's performance, you know, from a comp perspective, right. It's performance based. So like the risk is less to say like, yeah, we'll give them like a draw or guaranteed commission for the first quarter maybe. But I think very few salespeople will want to stay in a role where they're not meeting plan after 3 or 6 months, you know? And so like the risk is mitigated kind of naturally there, I think.
Is the plan to hire one? Because I've never hired a salesperson. I just hear a lot like hire in twos or threes.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I hear that too, but we just can't afford that. Yeah. And we don't have the demand on their time for that. But we do have like, we have been working with like an SDR agency that does like outbound prospecting.
I forgot about that.
And so they, you know, theoretically they're filling this pipeline for this person. And I think generally we'll work in kind of verticals like that, you know, like you'd have the way I would like to build the sales organization is like you have like an SDR that goes and does prospecting, sets up meetings, the account executive meets and then kind of manages the sale. And then you have like a transition engineer that does the implementation. And I think the idea there being like, you don't want, you know, the transition engineer to be doing prospecting and so they just get burned out on it. And, you know, a single person, I think, has a hard time following the customer all the way through that journey and staying focused on doing, you know, one part of it really well.
So you've been working with the SDR agency for a bit, and they're just like booking calls with you right now?
Yep.
Roughly what is the, like how many leads are coming through that? Like, is it filling up a good amount of your time?
Not yet, but it's ramping up quickly. I mean, we're talking the second week after the new year, and yeah, I have several calls this week that, you know, they really just got started on in the last 2 weeks. So I think that, you know, say it takes us a month to interview and hire this person, I would expect them to be on, you know, a sales call a day at least, and then follow up with other prospects in the meantime. But then they'll do, you know, prospecting and more outbound stuff to complement the SDR until the pipeline is full from organic or from other outbound stuff that we're doing.
Nice. Well, I'm definitely excited to see how the experiment plays out. And I mean, I think if
that's the plan, at least, right? I mean, it's like all this stuff. It's just like, oh, we'll figure out this thing, throw it at the wall and see what happens.
Right. And I think if there is a lesson out of all this, or just like a takeaway, is just how difficult it is to proactively plan when you're in a kind of, not a state of flux, but you're changing strategies or you're adding to the strategy, you're doing something new. Yep. And no, I think you've got a good approach of testing the waters, trying to get someone in there who can really grow things, but making sure to hold them accountable. And yeah, no, I'm excited to see how it all plays out. You said you got the job posting up as we're recording this.
Yep. Yeah. It's castos.com/careers. If you're a sleazy sales guy and want to come work with us, we'd love to.
Perfect. Well, yeah, we'll definitely check back in on that. And for everyone listening, I hope our rambles actually were somewhat coherent. That's a little bit of my concern sometimes. But no, I hope you enjoyed this as we're trying to dig a little bit more into what we're working on at the time, what we're struggling with, what's going well, what's not, and just what we're trying to navigate. And so if you like this direction of the show, let us know. But either way, thanks for tuning in.